from somewhere, but his house in the neighborhood, with no one else even fire anywhere around, burned down. Was God mad at him? A family 4 years ago lost their home in the Cedar Fire. And the man just not long ago completed his new house that he built with his own hands. So you know a fire wouldn't come near there, right? No, that's not true. The house that he had just built newly, after losing his house in the Cedar Fire just a week or so ago, he lost his house. Does it mean I'm bad? Is God trying to get back at us? I'm so happy that our church was saved. Pastor Matafa and Peter Flores and Paul Tobing and Dexter and a number of people were walking these grounds praying for our church. I'm so glad they did. But what about the six houses behind us? Did they not have enough prayer power to handle the neighborhood? Or did it have to just stop? Only enough power was to stop right here. Was God mad at those houses, those six families? What about the people in our church that lost their homes? I really mean this. There are no nicer people in our church than the Mises. I mean, God, if you had to pick on somebody, certainly it couldn't be Gene and Margot Mies. They're the nicest people you ever want to meet, and that's true. And so are all the other members that we could probably speak of. We know them. So God, I need some answers. When bad things happen, does it mean I'm bad? Well, let me tell you the known. Let me tell you what I know. When you read Revelation, the 12th chapter in verse 9, you can read several of verses around there. We find that there was war in heaven. Remember that? And when there was war in heaven, Michael, Christ, and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels. And the devil and his angels, the dragon, were cast out. Guess where they were cast out to? This earth. And we see them again when we read the book of Genesis. In Genesis chapter 3, we know the story. God gave strict instructions for Adam and Eve not to eat of that particular tree. Remember that story? But there was an old serpent, old devil, wandering around. Oh, it's okay, go ahead on and eat, not a problem. He followed the words of the devil and ate of the tree. And as a result of that, guess what happened? They broke the law of God. And when you break the law of God, the Bible calls it sin. And so now we no longer live on a perfect planet. And so, truthfully, I'm bad. And so are you. In fact, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's not, look at the person next to you. They have sinned. I know that's not very comforting. That's true. Everybody in here has sinned. So, in a sense, yes, we're bad. We no longer live in a perfect world. And so, in this world that's no longer perfect, the innocent suffer right alongside the guilty. And not only that, we have a devil running around that the Bible says in John 8:44 that he was a liar. In fact, it says that he was the father of lies and a murderer from the very beginning. And so do you think the devil, if he could get a hold of you and take your property away, do you think he would do it? You bet. If he could have got everybody in Fallbrook that Sabbath, that Monday, Tuesday and so on, he would have. That doesn't give me all the answers that I need. Why did God allow? Why does God allow bad things to happen? I'll tell you, I don't have all the answers on this. I can never, it's difficult for me to grasp why he allows. But I will tell you this that I know. God created us with freedom. Amen? The freedom to choose. And now we're in a world where we are free to choose. In an imperfect world. Imperfect being. And we make the choice to be certain places, to do certain things, well, anything. And so, consequently, you can build your house on the ocean, knowing a hurricane will be by sooner or later. We have that freedom. You can build your house on a cliff in La Jolla, where there's a fault running over it, under it. You're taking a chance. Or you can build your house in a rural area where it's beautiful, where sooner or later, fire's going to come through. Now, I'll tell you, in the perfect world that God desired for us, you wouldn't have to worry about any of that. But now we're not in a perfect world. So in that sense, yes, I'm bad. It's my responsibility. It's my responsibility when I spend billions of dollars on junk, but only millions on fire equipment. Oh, help me, Jesus. I know I'm in deep water now. Am I right? We'll spend billions on junk, and you can't find a helo to drop some retardant on your house. Oh, help us, Jesus. That's our fault. We have to own that because we don't make our politicians do what they ought to do. They take, you give them money, they spend it for whatever they want to spend it for. Oh, help me. I know I'm in deep. Pastor Maxwell, can you help me out? I'm in deep water. It's our fault. So in that sense, we're bad. What about prayers? Now, Pastor Mata Afa and the deacons, elders of the church, were praying hard. You know, when I get to heaven, I'll find a lot of this out. But I don't know it all now. How is it that we prayed for the church, we prayed for our members, but some were not spared? Well, the Bible gives us a hint. It says in Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, as my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, says the Lord. As high as the heavens are above, so high are the ways above your ways, and my thoughts above your thoughts. Someone said that God writes straight with crooked lines. I hope y'all get that. God writes straight with crooked lines. In other words, in God's language, sometimes no might mean yes. God may have a plan, but we let our plans interrupt God's plans. And sometimes when God is, we're asking God something and praying, we have issues, and I have issues with God's timing. It just seems, I'll just tell you, it just seems to me that God just seems to do things when I don't need it to be done. That's hard for me. I don't have all the answers on that. But I will tell you that there are times that I play God. I put my plans before his plans. And so in that case, I'm bad. But I need some answers, Pastor. You got 5 more minutes. Give me some answers. The answer is in the story. Go back and read it of John. John chapter 9. It was a belief that if something was wrong with you, it was either your fault or your parents' fault. You were bad. You see that in the first verse when it asked that. But you know what encourages me? That in Jesus, bad is not the last word. Love is the last word with Jesus. He proves it in that story. What we do when we suffer, you know how we react to suffering? We say that suffering is punishment. Oh, I hope you got that. It's not necessarily the same thing. If you're on planet Earth, you will suffer. You can guarantee it. It doesn't mean that God is out to get us and that He's punishing us. In fact, God is about restoration. God is about blessings. God is about raising. God allows suffering to bring good out of it. See, only God could do that. Bring good out of suffering. Genesis 39, you know the story. You can go back and read it. The story of Joseph, one of my great Bible heroes. Sold into slavery, went to prison for nothing, a faithful worker. But Joseph ends up being second in command in Egypt. And you know what the Bible says about that incident when he eventually meets his brothers? Read these words from Genesis 50 and verse 20. You thought evil against me, but God meant it for good. Oh, God, help me, Jesus. Isn't that great? He meant it for good to save people alive. Do you know what is the most important thing here today? It's not our stuff. You see, the last word is not bad. The last word is Jesus. And I say, you're not bad, but you're saved. If you are saved, you have the most important thing there is to have. And if you are not saved, I don't care how much stuff you have. I don't care how much fortress you build around it. It's not enough. Why is this important? I need to end the sermon. You know why this is important, this subject? You got to get this. If the person asleep next to you, please wake them up. They cannot miss this. You know why this is important? Because in these last days, when you think you've seen bad things, the Bible says this is just the beginning of sorrows. If you can't handle this, you won't handle what's coming. This is just the beginning. And you know why this is important? Because God does not want us to let go of His hand no matter what. No fire, no devil, no anything can cause us to separate ourselves from the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what this is all about. He wanted to find out, Gene and Margo, if you're going to still be here on Sabbath. You could have said, I'm not coming back there anymore. I moved in my house one day. I mean, that's heavy. I mean, serious. We have no idea how heavy that is. They move into their new house one day, and the devil burns it down. How many of you would have shown up on Sabbath after that? I see you, Joni, and I don't see Ben, but I see you, Joni. The Lord. We need Jesus with us every single moment. You see, only Jesus could take a bad cross and make it good. Oh, what a God we serve. Let's pray. My time is gone. Father, when bad things happen, does it mean I'm bad? Lord, when bad things happen, let us look to you. When we are bad, let us look to you. And all around us is falling apart, let us look to you. When we have nothing but the clothes on our back, let us look to you, the author and finisher of our faith. And you have declared that you have prepared a place for us, a place like no other place, where we won't have to worry about this anymore. Lord, we want to be a part of that place. We want to be in that place. So when you come, save us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You were kind. You gave me 10 minutes. I couldn't do it in 15. That's all right. I know you watched your clock to see if I made it. I didn't make it. Forgive me.